Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Rousey spins. Rousey inside the arc. Slips, gives the ball back to Elliott. Window, no. Rebound, Tony Carr for Penn State.
Love that rebound by Tony, Steve. In traffic.
Back to the shooter. Snaps the three. Got it. And Penn State leads 61-48. Timeout, Steve Wojciechowski.
What a response, Steve. This is what this team has done this whole postseason. They have just played tremendous.
Near wing at Stevens against Hauser.
Drive.
To shoot. Backs him in. Backs him in with four.
Double.
Backs him in. Now the double. Spins. Fades away. Baseline.
Wow.
What a shot by Lamar Stevens.
He has been phenomenal tonight. I said to Jeff at lunch today, he's going to have to be the guy tonight.
And was he ever? Has he been?
67-53, Penn State, 7:04 to go in the game. Carr one-on-one with Kane. He drives on Kane, throws it far corner. Reeves snaps off the three. It's good. Josh Reeves makes it 72-65.
First bucket of the game, Steve. Good time.
Carr between the circles. 12 to shoot with Reeves on the near wing. Backdoor alley-oop laid up and in by Stevens with 1:36 to go, 76-68.
Tremendous back screen, Steve. Again, DeClaire Lamar is having a tremendous game at 28.
Howard drives the baseline up over Moore and good, 76-70 Nittany Lions.
Let the clock run a while before you throw it in. Great smooth play by Tony. Threw it to the ref. Let the clock run some more.
Double in the backcourt to Reeves. Reeves now into the front court to Garner, and they set things up. Carr midcourt circle.
It's going to be under a minute when they shoot against it.
18 to shoot with 106 to play. Bounce pass near wing Reeves. Reeves, alley-oop again,
yes,
slam dunk, Lamar Stevens, what a pass by Reeves. 78-70, 54 seconds to go. Carr up, good, Penn State leads 85-80. In it goes, down the far sideline, Howard. Howard pulls up, deep three ball is short, and the Nittany Lion basketball team is going back to Madison Square Garden and the NIT Final Four as they defeat Marquette 85-80 here in Milwaukee tonight.
The committee made a mistake. They thought Mike Watkins was out, and they didn't put us in. They thought we weren't good enough without Mike Watkins. And you know what all we do is? We keep proving them wrong. We proved them wrong in the Big Ten tournament when we beat Northwestern and Ohio State and battled in the first half anyway against Purdue, and then we retired. But then to be able to come on the road and beat, first of all, a feisty Temple team we were losing the entire game, and then to go on the road and beat Notre Dame in their house on St. Patrick's Day, and then to come in here in the Alma Choir with 3,700 people. I mean, just amazing, the grit and the perseverance of this group. I couldn't be more proud. The goal was New York. They believed in the goal. We're going to New York. It's just awesome for the program. It's another step. It's another step for this program. 24 wins. I don't know if many predicted that. And we were able to get there. And the biggest thing is their mindset, approach, and growth to be able to go to the NIT after such a disappointment of not getting the NCAA tournament and saying, okay, we got this. And, man, they played with some mental toughness tonight. That mental conditioning I was talking about all year long. We really, really saw it.
Last night, the NIT quarterfinals here on WKOK. Steve Jones, Dick Girardi had the call, and head coach Patrick Chambers post-game. 85-80, Penn State getting the win over Marquette. Nittany Lions head back to Madison Square Garden next Tuesday night for the NIT Final Four. We know they're going to play Mississippi State. Just don't know what time, either 7 or 9 next Tuesday. This all depends on how things shake out in the other two quarterfinal matchups tonight in the NIT. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Sean Carey here. Steve checks in just a few from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We will talk a little bit about last night's NIT game and also get into a little more of the Penn State Football Pro Day yesterday on campus with Ben Jones, Nittany Lions sports writer from statecollege.com. And also, since it's snowing, we're going to talk baseball. Try to take your mind off the snow for a little bit here on the second day of spring. from Pirates Breakdown, Jason Rollison. Frequent guest last year during baseball season. This be his first of many coming up this spring and summer here with Steve on WKOK. So Jason, check in this hour too. You can check in with us. Feel free to drop us a line anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. You can find us on social media as well. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And we also invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast in case you miss any of our live shows on WKOK. We can send them straight to your smartphone and tablet when you subscribe to our podcast on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play. If you do listen to us through iTunes, don't hesitate to leave us a review. The more five-star reviews you get, the more listeners we could get for the podcast. So we can really take this thing worldwide. So we appreciate that. Lamar Stevens last night with 30. Tony Carr tossed in 25, and Shep Garner had 19. And I keep thinking over and over, man, if Mike went in, and DJ mentioned this on the broadcast last night, man, if Mike Watkins was out there on the floor with those guys, how much more damage could this team do? But they are continuing to fight off the adversity, playing for themselves. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And see how far they can take this thing as they head back to the Garden once again. So excited to see that come to life next Tuesday night. So again, we'll just wait to see how the other matchups go tonight in the NIT quarterfinals, and then we'll get a crystal clear picture as to how things will shake out next Tuesday for the Nittany Lions. Team for sure will get a break today. Speaking of break, we go back to last Saturday when Penn State played at Notre Dame. It turns out Bonzi Colson broke his left foot during that Penn State game. That's according to a report from Yahoo Sports. This is not the first time, now the second time, that he has fractured his left foot. Previously suffered the same injury earlier this season. Ended up missing well over a dozen games before getting back into the starting five for the Fighting Irish in late February. Colson, 6'6 forward, he is set to enter the 2018 NBA draft.
I hated when I saw that on Saturday. I mean, it happened during our game. I mean, when it happened, we're like, oh, no. We saw him over there, and then he left the bench. He came back to the bench, and he had an ice bag on the left foot. We're like, oh, no.
So for those who missed it specifically, when did that happen during the game?
It happened in the middle to latter stages of the third quarter. He was playing well, too. He was the best player on the floor for Notre Dame. I think they were still down by 10 or 12 when he went out. But still, that's when it happened. You're like, uh-oh. You just could tell it wasn't right. Then you looked at him on the bench. We looked over at him on the bench and Dick was like, you get sick when you see something like that. Okay, you get sick when you see something like that. Because now, I've seen Bonzi Colson play in person a couple times, and every time I see him, I'm just impressed. Now, do I think he's an NBA guy? He has NBA talent, but he doesn't have NBA measurables. There's a couple parts of his game where, at his size, he would need to have a better outside shot than he has, but he is a heck of a college basketball player. That just made me sick when I saw that. And so, you know, the report came out today. Like, we didn't know when we saw it. I mean, he had an ice bag in that foot right away after the game. He had the ice bag on the foot during the game. During the game, he had it. And then Mike did something, you know, Mike Bray did something really nice, very classy. He let Bonzi walk back out. You know, and you know, Penn State knew he was hurt. The game was over already. He let him play the last 25 seconds of his career out in the court. And the crowd loved it, and he was so appreciative. He kept standing at midcourt when the game was over, clapping his hands toward the fans. I mean, there was a real bond between Bonzi Colson and the fans at Notre Dame, and there should be. I mean, that guy gave everything he had for 4 years out there. He's a heck of a college player. Just a heck of a college player. And he plays the whole season. Notre Dame is in the tournament. Notre Dame should have been in the tournament anyway. And Patrick Chambers was rather blunt last night as to another team he thought he should have been in the tournament. Yeah, he was blunt about it last night. He says, Steve, Dick, I'm just going to say it straight out. He says, they made a mistake. We should have been in. Hey, good for him. Good for him. Now, you can call up left and right. I disagree with them, the whole thing. Excuse me. But as a head coach, I'd be looking at my players, and I'd be telling them, you know what? You should have been in. You showed everybody you're good enough. Right? Now, if you want to dispute that, fine. You can dispute it all you want. But, you know, you're going to tell that to the players? No, you shouldn't have been in.
I think it's finally time we need to recognize Patton for the great job that he has done as head coach. I mean, he's taken a lot of flack from a lot of people, and there's been quite a few that have been, you know, it's been a test of patience. You know, we've been this close, we have been this close. I mean, Patrick's mentioned that a lot in interviews in the past, but it was just great to see that win last night. This is a gritty, gutsy team, and you know, kudos to Pat. I mean, they are turning the corner. I mean, you're seeing it too. I mean, you've watched a ton of basketball in well over four plus decades, and now we can finally look for some great positive things as this team continues to climb.
Well, they're doing what I thought they were going to do. All right, it just, you know, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But back in November, December, what did I keep saying? And Dick said the same thing too. Dick Girardi, is that look. They've got good players. But saying that, now, how they develop, the pace, how it comes together. And I remember, and I said it on the show, the day before the game on the 4th of January and the day of the game, the 5th. I said it that day. That I felt the Northwestern game that night at the Jordan Center was, to me, a Minnesota moment in football from 2016. I felt that game going in, this is not post-mortem, it was going into the game. I said, look, I just got a feeling based on how I'm watching them practice, how I'm watching some things together coming together with them, the way they're playing, is I think the time is now. And I felt the same way the week of the Minnesota game in football. Same way. And Penn State went out against Northwestern on that Friday night, and they blew them out. I'm talking that game was not even competitive. And I walked out of it thinking, yep, that's what I thought I was going to see. And Dick and I talked on the phone, and Dick and I were like, yep, that's exactly what we thought we were going to see. And then the Josh Reeves thing happened. And suddenly, you know, the mystery of, you know, how many games is he out? How long is this going to take? Whatever, it turned out being four games. Now they won one. They beat Nebraska, which turned out to be a really good win among those games. But then they got Josh back. And since they got Josh Reeves back, and it's not solely Josh Reeves, it's just, in other words, getting Josh Reeves back was allowing them to be whole as a basketball team again. And then, of course, they lose Mike Watkins here at the end. But they're 11-5 in their last 16 games. And remember, the schedule was backloaded. The schedule was backloaded. Everyone kept saying the toughest games were at the end of the season. Well, in this 11-5 run that they've had, here are their five losses. At Purdue by 3, at Michigan State by 8, at Nebraska. Now remember, Nebraska lost one home game the entire season. That was to Kansas by 1. At Nebraska, Purdue in the tournament, and Michigan at home. Those are the five losses. Not exactly the little sisters of the poor. Now, who have they beaten in this streak? Well, in this streak, they've beaten, along the way, 3 wins over Ohio State. I still say Maryland's a good basketball team. They beat Maryland. They beat Marquette in their building. They beat Notre Dame in their building. Not exactly shabby. They're playing really well. Now, look, one of the keys with any team, and this is always the toughest part to gauge, is when talent meets confidence. Now you have a dynamite combination. Well, what we've watched is Penn State basketball as a team. Carr, Garner, Moore, Hera, who's really come on, Stevens, who had 30 last night, Reeves, Jamari Wheeler, They will get Nazir Bostic will be back on Tuesday night. All right. We've now seen them grow in confidence, where now the talent, which was always there and developing, has now been met with confidence. And you have confidence and talent in combination. Now you've got something really special brewing. Well, now they've got something going here. Now let's see what they can do. They're going to face another young, very talented, long team, athletic Mississippi State on Tuesday night. Mississippi State's a good team. Ben Howland, who, you know, for a while had been kind of struggling down there, now has got it going with them. And, you know, down the stretch, let's see, I think they lost at LSU to close out the regular season. Then they had a rematch in the SEC tournament in St. Louis, and they blew them out. Then they lost by 3 to Tennessee. Then they went back home and they beat Nebraska. Then they went to Baylor and won, and now they won last night at Louisville. By the way, David Padgett's been announced will not be returning as Louisville's head coach. So, there you are. I mean, they're playing really well. Now, the other part, and I made this point yesterday on the show, and I'll make it again. There's some prevailing attitude about certain elements of sports these days where, it's meaningless. Bowl games that aren't New Year's Six, or even bowl games that aren't in the Final Four, are just meaningless exhibitions. How often have we heard that said or written in the last couple of years? The NIT, meaningless exhibitions. I've heard that tagged to the NIT. It's fine to hold that opinion because that's your opinion. But don't tell that to the coaches and the players. In fact, you want to be really gutsy? Why don't you get up in front of the coaches and the players and tell them they're playing a meaningless exhibition tonight? That was no meaningless exhibition game last night. That was two teams going all out to win the game because it meant a lot to each of them. Now, getting to Madison Square Garden, yeah, but it meant a lot to each of them. That was no meaningless exhibition to the coaches and the players. Now, maybe to the person that has to cover it, maybe it is to the person that has to cover it, but not to the players and the coaches. Not to the active participants. It is 180 of a meaningless anything. It's a game. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The NIT normally has been a stepping stone for Penn State. Oh, let me give you one interesting stat for Penn State. Now, I realize this is the NIT and it's not the NCAA. I understand all of that, obviously. Nobody knows that better than I do. I've done both tournaments several times. Penn State has been to the NIT quarterfinals 6 times. You know how many times Penn State's won? 6. They've never lost in the quarterfinals. Sean Miller, by the way, says, I am not a candidate for the Pitt job. David Padgett, not returning at Louisville.
We'll see what Dan Hurley wants to do. He's got options. UConn, Pitt, stay at Rhode Island. He's got options. All right, next half hour. Look, it's been snowing out all day. So let's talk a little baseball with Jason Rollison. Then Ben Jones on Penn State football, pro day, and Penn State basketball at 4:06. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your voice of your Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese.
It all starts with Doug. Nothing fazes Doug. Nothing sets him off. He's strong. He's authoritative. He's a player's coach. They feel comfortable with him. He's transmitted his outlook to this team. Each week he says, let's go 1-0.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jason Rollison in just a few moments. This day in sports history. 1946, the Los Angeles Rams signed Kenny Washington. He became the first black player to join the NFL since 1933. 1946, the Mexican League began play on this date. Let's see. In 1968, the new American League franchise in Kansas City decided to take the nickname of the Royals. They started play in 1969. 1973, Frank Mihaljevic of the Montreal Canadiens became the fifth NHL player to score 500 career goals. In 1994, Wayne Gretzky tied Gordie Howe's record of 801 career goals. 1994, Michael Jordan was cut from the White Sox roster and sent to their minor league club in Birmingham. In 2004, a delightful thing happened. The Veterans Stadium was demolished. I remember walking by the Vet going into Citizens Bank Park, and the Vet was in rubble. All right. I was with my old friend Patrick Scholl. Patrick's since passed away. And I said, that's the best that place ever looked. All right, that's this day in sports history. And let's look, it's been snowing out. What do you got? Here we got, I got like 4 or 5 inches here.
Yeah, pretty close there as well. It started to really kick in down here this morning by about 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh, by the way, I've got a series of emails or text messages today. So a series of text messages. One is, hey, can you join my show? You know, to talk about the NIT Final Four. Yeah, sure. Scranton's going to be holding its annual dinner in May. They want me to MC it. James Franklin's going to be there, so that's really cool. So, yeah. And then I get one from the suit.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah. IndyCar signed up with NBC or something.
Yeah, so it turns out this will be the last year that ABC / ESPN will be televising the race. Yeah, NBC announced this morning a multi-year deal with Indy. So NBC will start running in 2019, the Indy 500. I thought that was kind of funny. Then about an hour or two later, then the NFL released a statement regarding coverage of the NFL draft, and I forwarded that to you. Turns out now you're going to have more options to watch the NFL draft. Thursday night and Friday night, Fox is also going to televise it.
They're going to have the NFL Network's coverage of it.
Yeah.
That seemed to move the needle more than the Indy announcement.
That's what I said to the suit. You know, probably, Park Avenue in New York caught wind of that big Indy announcement. It's like, yeah, we're going to squidoosh that and bring our information.
Yeah. I think we need to somehow do whatever we can to stay in front of IndyCar.
Sabotage.
Just another depressing day in that life.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. He was ecstatic about having IndyCar moving over to NBC. And it's like I wish you'd look at yourself right now. Oh, by the way, when we had our Monday morning meeting, we were all very kind to him and said, hey, how was vacation? Where'd you go? He said, none of your business. Wouldn't even tell us where he went. So I wonder if his broadcast partner, Dave Ritchie, who, by the way, we'll have on the show tomorrow, maybe he knows where he went. David's part of that inner circle.
I'm trying to think.
Outside of family members, the only person I've ever heard, you know, Chief be called David is, from Kevin. So I think Chief probably knows where he went. Yeah, we're like, none of your business. Okay, thanks for that.
I'm trying to think how deep down inside of myself I have to go to care. Okay. It's none of your business. Okay, fine.
He was talking about this great. He's talking about this great place down south, and I'm looking at him. And it's like, oh, you didn't really get much of a tan. It's like, where were you? Stay in the hotel all week or what?
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say, huh?
No.
Very quickly, top 10 NHL line college programs based on NHL lineups. Denver, number 10. That's Penn State's opponent, by the way, in the NCAAs. Michigan State, 9. Maine, 8. Vermont, 7. Boston University, 6. Minnesota, 5. Boston College, 4. Michigan, 3. North Dakota, 2. And Wisconsin, number 1. This is just based on the guys that have been in the league over the years and who it is. You know, like Wisconsin is Chris Chelios and Ryan Sutter and Curtis Joseph and Scott Mellenby and Joe Pavelski and Danny Heatley. So, yeah. All right. Jason Rollison joins us to talk about how things are going at the Pirates camp. Jason?
What do you think of the camp so far to this point, as closely as you've followed it?
Well, I think we're pretty much seeing something that I thought could be a storyline this season, and that is the Pirates' sudden power potential. You have Colin Moran coming over who can provide some pop, theoretically, coming from the minors. You have Corey Dickerson, fresh off of his All-Star season last year with the Rays, in which he hit 24 home runs. You have Josh Bell, who hit 28. And you have Starling Marte and Gregory Polanco, hopefully coming back to their existing form, and each of those guys carry 20-plus home run potential, so... The Pirates right now going into yesterday, I haven't checked today, but going into yesterday led spring training with 38 home runs.
That's good.
So this is a team that's going to have some pop, yeah. And they famously were dead next to last in the in all of baseball last year with 151 home runs, second worst only to the Giants. So that could carry them through. The starting pitching has been about where we thought it was. Bullpen has some intriguing arms as well, some new arms, more strikeout ability. But the power potential has stuck out to me the most.
Well, that's interesting about the power play. I really liked the Dickerson acquisition. I thought after all the moves they made, I thought that was a significant move that at least showed the Pirates wanted to do something.
Yeah, it was. And it came later on in what you would call the traditional hot stuff season, although nothing this year is traditional. But it was a later addition, and here we thought the Pirates would kind of just keep the seat warm for Austin Meadows, kind of make do with what they had, and guys like Adam Frazier and Sean Rodriguez, who could play corner outfield spots, left field specifically. And here they go and get an all-star. And get an all-star who's under control, initial six-year control for 2 years. So it's a move that simultaneously buoys them for the current state and also is not too much of an overextension in the future because they still want to see what Austin Meadows can do. So it's the best of both worlds, and it was a really sneaky good signing.
Yeah, and it allows Meadows' time. Do you think Meadows eventually ends up with the Pirates before this season is over with? And I don't mean a September call-up either.
Well, I was about to say the only way that could really happen is a September call-up or an extreme rash of injuries. Every situation is different. Every player is different. Adam Frazier, for example, got up to the big leagues without having what you would call a large number of at-bats at AAA. But, every guy is different. Austin Meadows has not really been able to put together a full season of at bats, no matter where he is, whether it be double A, single A, or now triple A. So I think at the very least, he's going to have to get at least a half season worth of at bats. And look, if he's absolutely tearing the cover off the ball, you may see him up a little sooner. He will likely be a September call up. I'm pretty confident of that, but other than that, no, not this year.
Okay. So
defensively, where are they? I mean, do you think this is going to be a good enough team defensively to help the pitching staff out?
I think that up the middle, they have a chance to be good. And as you probably know, if your defense up the middle is good or at the very least solid, you're off to a good foundation. I think the key will be Marte. When he started last season in center field, he wasn't exactly, you know, an easy fit there. Past 2 years, everyone has said Marte is a natural center fielder. He should really be there. McCutchen should be moved to right. Well, when that happened, Marte kind of struggled. With McCutchen out of the picture, perhaps Marte's mindset will be able to attack center field a little more. Marte, in spring training, has looked the part, so I think he'll be strong up the middle. Gregory Polanco is always an adventure in right field, but he's capable. And Corey Dickerson's not the best left fielder, so I think defense will come down to Colin Moran, the newly acquired third baseman who can make all the throws, but there are some questions about his footwork and athleticism. And then Josh Bell, first base, is a continuing project. So I think up the middle they'll be strong, and in the corners there are definitely some questions.
Let's get to Marte for a moment. He looked like a guy coming off an 80-game PED suspension last year. I mean, because there was no power. What does he look like in this camp in terms of the ability to drive the ball?
I think the bat speed was there, for sure. I think everyone would agree on that. I think that he's going to revert to, you know, the 15 to 20 home run power, and we have to keep in mind his career high to this point is 19. His All-Star season, he hit 9 home runs. So he was never quite a power threat, but I do think 15 home runs is definitely reasonable. From what I can see watching the games and watching the camp is that, you know, last year when he came back from the injury, the bat speed wasn't there, his timing was off. And this year, I think that's back. And if that's back, he can easily hit that 15 home run potential. I think anything above that would be a pleasant surprise, but I think that's something you can reasonably pay for.
All right, bullpen-wise, I've got a feeling this is one of the strengths of the team. I think if they can lead games after 6 innings, I think they should be in pretty good shape based on some of the arms they have down there. But what is your view of it?
I'm really excited about the bullpen, and here's why. They have made a concerted effort to get more strikeout ability in those later innings. Last year they had Felipe Rivera's share of bats. But other than that, they really didn't have those guys that can go to a hitter late in the game and really overpower them and get some whiffs. This year they've added guys like Josh Smoker from the left side. George Contreras is coming back, who, you know, is good for a 9+ strikeout per 9 rating.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Michael Feliz coming from the Astros who can strike out his fair share. And then Crick as well, who would kind of be my pick for kind of the swing man, the bullpen, who can go to the late inning, high leverage roles, and also go into the middle of the game as well for a high leverage role. And he can miss some bats. So what I like to tell people is that from 2013 through 15, when the Pirates bullpen, they were great. They got outs, which is always the number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really strike out many bats. So you know, this year, Neil Heinsohn did a great job adjusting his bullpen to the current trend of power in baseball. And anytime you can add swing and miss ability to the bullpen, I think you've improved it.
Who do you think the 4 and 5 starters end up being?
You know, it's funny because for me, Trevor Moore, I view that as kind of a conglomerate in that kind of middle of the rotation. The 5th spot is Joe Musgrove by default. Tyler Glasnow has really not shown that he can be relied upon to find the strike zone consistently. Well, with nice talent and a very smart pitcher. But there's a little bit more upside in Musgrove, I feel. So I think it's Musgrove by default. As long as he's ready for the season, there's a question there.
Why do you think Glasnow, who in the minors is lights out, why hasn't he been able to adjust to this level?
Steve, if I knew that, I think I might have made this job.
It's a good point.
Not to take the cop out there, but, you know, the guy has all the velocity. He has all the velocity in the world, but I think the fastball, people are starting to see that it comes out a little flat, which is why there's constantly been attempts to kind of maybe add some movement to his pitches with kind of a two-seam sinker combo, and then always trying to develop that changeup that's been lacking. He does have that curveball, which is good, but doesn't play well if the fastball comes out of his hand flat, has no life to it, and is just a you know, easy to kind of track. So I think that's the main reason why he has trouble finding the strike zone consistently.
Yeah, because he has it. He looks like at times like he has great stuff, but you and I both know you can throw 98, and if it doesn't have movement, a major league hitter doesn't care.
Yep. Especially in today's baseball, that's absolutely right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jason. It is always a pleasure. Always great information. Can't wait to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Well, evidently Sister Jean doesn't have GPS. Now, have you ever been to downtown Atlanta?
Never been there, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, Phillips Arena, which is attached to CNN, okay, CNN Center. So Phillips Arena is attached to it, and it's across from the Mercedes-Benz Dome. So the Phillips Arena, and I actually did a television stand-up during the 2001 Sweet 16. I did a television stand-up in Phillips Arena. And, in fact, the Hawks were going to play the Spurs. That's why we did it there. Well, the Loyola bus got lost and couldn't find the arena. They were a half hour late for their shoot-around. And which meant they were also late for their press conference. Ben Richardson, the guard for Loyola, says, you know, actually, Atlanta's pretty beautiful. We got to see all the sights. They got busted. They got lost. Though it wasn't a necessarily fun experience, Loyola players were amused by Porter Moser, the coach, rising frustration level as the bus ride grew to legendary proportions. I'll never forget. See, Bruce was the coach. Bruce Parkhill's the coach of Penn State. And years ago, playing at Northwestern. Now, I want to be frank with everybody. Getting to Northwestern from O'Hare Airport is about as simple gets, even though it's at least a half an hour. I mean, it's simple. Okay? You come out of the airport, you get to the tollway, 294, you go north. Now, you have two options off of there. You either take Dempster Street or you take Gulf Road. Either one of them gets you there. So, I remember it was going to be a Saturday game. It was a Friday. And I had had a long week of work. And so, it's Friday night, and I get on the bus, and I'm just kind of leaning up at the window. I was on the right-hand side of the bus. I'm leaning up against the window, and all of a sudden, I look up, and I see Tollway North 294. I'm like, okay. And I fall asleep. And I doze off. I wake up. I'm looking around. I thought it was disoriented for a moment. I said, where are we? Like I said, I mean, I've done this a lot of times. So I'm like, where are we? And Bruce Parkhill was sitting, I think, 2-3 seats in front of me. He turns like, what do you mean, buddy? I said, Bruce, where are we going? Oh, we're going to the hotel. I said, this isn't the way to the hotel. I said, we just went by Arlington Park. Bruce's like, what? He goes up to the bus driver. He says, do you know where you're going? Oh, yeah. I said, they're going. I don't think he knows where he's going. And he gets off the highway, and he snakes through all the little back towns. You know how long it took us to get to the hotel? 2 hours. 2 hours. Now, all you had to do was admit the mistake, get off the highway, turn around, go back down the highway, and just make up for it. He snaked his way through every small town north of Chicago. We're at Rhode Island, going up. Yeah, you know, I've been through into Rhode Island a lot. Bus stops.
And they said, what are you doing? The driver says, I need directions. I said, get back in. I said, go up here. You make a left over. I said, get back in the bus.
Directions right here.
I said, look, take the shore road. Said, make a left on 4. Hook in the 95. 95 takes you to the airport. Okay.
I'm a firm believer when it comes to all these trips, you need to sit back behind the bus driver and even right behind the pilot.
Oh. You should have seen Jim Ferry in Brooklyn, because Jim Ferry was the head coach at LIU Brooklyn for over 10 years. Okay, so he knows it like the back of his hand. The bus driver drove him up the wall. We went to the World Trade Center. So we went to the World Trade Center. We go to the top floor, the observation deck. That was the one where Pat comes up to me, and we're standing on the west side of it. And Pat says, gee, what do you think? I said, Pat, this is really cool. Look, that's New Jersey. Well, we come out of the World Trade Center. There's no bus. He's lost. We're standing out in the cold in November in Lower Manhattan waiting for the bus. We almost all got cabs. So believe me, when it comes to the bus part, we got a million of them. Including the Big Ten tournament, where this car hit the bus twice on the way into Madison Square Garden. Then almost caused an incident with security when he tried to charge in front of the bus. And the Madison Square Garden security, like, who is this?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. And on WKOK.com.